on the line now, I have Maura Layden, Assistant General Secretary for ASTI. Good afternoon to you, Maura. How are you?
I'm grand, Liam. Thank you very much.
It's Noel.
Oh, Noel, my apologies. Sorry.
Sorry, Christmas baby, that's me. Okay. The Chief Inspector's report, tell us a little about it.
Yeah, this was out last week or so. It's good news, but like all good news, there's always one or two little caveats that we should all be, take heed of. But I think to start, Noel, with the good news first, the Chief Inspector's report comes out every 3 or 4 years. It looks at the quality of teaching and learning in primary and post-primary schools. One of the interesting aspects of the research is the fact that a lot of the data is generated by questionnaires which parents and students themselves have filled in. So it's not just a case of the inspector coming into the school, making observations and feeding into a national report. Rather, a lot of the data in this report is based upon questionnaires that parents and students completed in schools. So, you know, it's close to the ground. It's giving us a fairly accurate picture.
And everyone seems to be in unison that things are improving right across the board.
They are, and that is good news. I mean, I think sometimes we take for granted what our schools are doing, the quality of what's going on there. So just to give your listeners a flavour of what they're saying is that the overall teaching and learning in post-primary schools, the inspectorate found that between 88% and 94%, so up to the vast majority of schools, the quality of teaching and learning is good or better. In other words, they're both in that they're either good or even more than good. And that's the quality of teaching and learning overall. Then it looked more specifically at English. The same type of statistics, 89% of the lessons were good or better. They looked at mathematics, 93% of the quality of teaching is good or better. And that's really important with all the talk nowadays about science and technology and how important maths is to all of our lives. I mean, financial literacy. We all need to understand maths. You know, even if we're at home, in fact, you need to know maths to run a house extremely well. I suppose the one area of teaching and learning which did give cause for concern, and I don't think it's peculiar to schools, was the area of Irish, you know, and the same was true of primary schools and post-primary schools. The ratings, so to speak, were lower for Irish in both sets of schools. And I think this reflects, you know, some of the well-acknowledged issues in as regards students' motivation and attitudes towards Irish and the challenges that teaching the Irish poses. So that's one area where, as a system, we're going to have to look at and make sure that we can, I suppose, address the problem as such. But I think then to move to
Can I just ask you about... Sorry for interrupting you, Maura. Could I just ask you about the Irish aspect of it? Because it has come out now where parents are going to be more involved and tested to that extent. How much of an impediment would that be?
I mean, well, I suppose that's a different issue that's arising. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just something that's floating. I mean, there's no decision has been taken at government or school level. That's to do with some of the challenges that are arising around school admission. And how do Gaelscells, I suppose, in a way, ensure that families who are rearing their children through Irish and are committed to Irish get a place in their local Gaelscell, even if they don't live in the immediate area?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of a school admissions challenge which has been dealt with by the Oireachtas and legislation at the moment. But I think what the Chief Inspector's report was looking at was like about teaching and learning in Irish more generally speaking.
Okay.
You know, I think what they're saying is that we have to change the curriculum, which has happened at the junior cycle reform at second level, and we also have to look at the nature of the classroom, what happens in the classroom. You know, is there sufficient emphasis upon oral skills in addition to reading and writing skills? You know, these are all things that teachers will take on board. School leaders will take on board, the department will certainly take it on board, and I would expect that in 3 to 4 years' time when we have our next report, we will find that improvements have been made. Because this really, you know, the Chief Inspector's report is a very serious national statement, and everybody who's involved in education has to take heed of its recommendations.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, though, that's something that ASTI will be monitoring, even though it's just floating about at the moment. Like other things like co-education and singular education, all these things are, as you say, just floating around, but something obviously you'll be keeping an eye on.
Oh, absolutely. But could I just maybe move on to one or two other
aspects of course,
report, which I think, again, your listeners would be interested in. I did say at the outset, Noel, that the Chief Inspector's report is based upon inspectors' visits plus questionnaires from parents and students, and I'm sure plenty of our listeners will know that they have filled in these questionnaires.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one area of post-primary school life that's of huge concern to parents is bullying. Is the school dealing with it? Has it got a good proactive anti-bullying policy? Is it not just that, is it reacting to the problem, but is it trying to prevent it in the first place? And overall, there was very high ratings in terms of how parents and students perceived their school's anti-bullying policy. 82% of students said that they agreed that they feel safe and cared for in schools. 12% did no, and the other 6% disagreed. So, I think that's pretty good that students feel like that. 74% of students said that I can talk to an adult in the school if I'm having problems. And parents, something similar, 78% of parents stated that I am confident that if my child experiences bullying, the school will act promptly and effectively. You know, and that's very, very important, that parents feel that and students feel that they're safe at school. Good news as well on the special educational needs front. I think 90%, the inspector says that across schools which have children with special educational needs, 90%+ of those schools had a very high quality teaching. The one area it felt that schools could do better on was communicating with parents more about their individual student. And I mean, that's something everybody could do better, I suppose, in all our areas of work. Mm-hmm. We have to communicate more regularly and, I suppose, more clearly as to how we're going on. I suppose my overall message, an analysis, so to speak, of the Chief Inspector's report, it tells us we're doing well. It tells us our children are safe. Parents perceive their children to be safe. It tells us that in key areas of the curriculum, English, Irish and mathematics, that the overall standard is pretty good, but certainly as regards Irish, we can do better. And it also tells us which I haven't spoken about, is that the quality of leadership in our schools is pretty strong. And, mm-hmm. and they don't just mean leadership at the top, i.e. the principal or the deputy. They're talking about the year heads and the assistant principals, that those structures are good and that they're working well to make sure that the school operates well. So, I think we can be confident that... when our children go out to school every day, that they're in places which are efficient and professional and safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems from the report and the percentages that's there, which are very, very positive, that the communications is working very, very well and the protocols across the schools is working very well in that sort of way.
Oh, it is. And, we can't take that for granted. Schools are busy places. You go in, the principal will go in someday and what might start off as a very ordinary day can be you can have a huge contingency on your hands and you've got to deal with it. So, the efficient running of the place, the good communication, the making sure that, that every member of staff is working well, that there's good standards being maintained, that's really important. And I think sometimes the public don't appreciate the amount of, policies and accountability mechanisms that schools have to look at. There are, believe it or not, 7 different models of inspection in mm-hmm. our schools. And out of those 7 models of inspection, reports from 6 of them are published on the website, the department's website. So there's nothing hidden about our schools. Mm-hmm. If you are a parent and you want to see, what's school X like, you go on to the department's website, you look at the inspection reports for school X across different headings, you will get a very, very full picture of your school, and generally it's a very positive picture, because one of the differences between our system of inspection compared to the system of inspection, for example, in England it's very much name and shame.
Mm-hmm.
You're not meeting the grade. In Ireland, our inspection model is about, let's look at your school, let's see what you're doing well, and let's identify where we can do better, and let's help you to do better. And I think that positive approach, where you affirm the good work,
mm-hmm.
identify where you need to do better, which we all need to do in all of our working and personal lives, and let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
That works, because you're trusting the school and you're trusting the teachers to get on with the job that they're paid to do.
And I wonder, in the course of all the communications, do the parents appreciate the extracurricular work that the teachers do as well?
Well, that wasn't covered in the report, but I think it's something which...
Well, I think because of the statistics, it sort of subliminally is that things are working great. And but I'm just wondering, do the parents know?
Well, I think they do. I mean, we all know that, I mean, that the amount of coming and going that's going on in schools, you know, between games and sports and the drama and the open nights and the tours and the young scientists and, you know, the list, the green school, the list is absolutely enormous. And I think, again, that's one of the strengths in our education system compared to many in continental Europe who just focus upon the curriculum and that's it. I suppose our schools, for different historical reasons, have the formal curriculum, which is your junior certificate, your leaving certificate, and all the learning that goes on with that. But also you have the other dimension. And increasingly, you know, schools will tell you that you can't talk about education a child without looking at all of their needs, whether it's intellectual, emotional, social. And, you know, the happy child is the child who's learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think schools are so proactive about well-being. They're so proactive about mental health. They're so proactive about bullying, because they know that unless the children feel safe and secure and valued, well, they're not going to learn. So
okay.
This is kind of, I suppose, in a way that the kind of, I suppose, the philosophy of our schools. And it is a national asset which we should be very both proud of and careful to maintain.
Mm. Well, according to the report as well, I mean, I think the initial genesis at the beginning, where it's the early years that's pretty strong within the education system when children enter the school, that it's a good grounding for them, and that shows up in the report.
That actually, no, you've hit on something there I didn't refer to. For the first time ever, this report, the Chief Inspector's report, has looked at the early childhood education, and its inspectors now go into the early childhood settings, the local creche or the Montessori, and they make evaluations of the quality of care and of learning that's going on in these settings. And that's really important because, I mean, we all know that when children get a good start in life in terms of learning and being in these environments, it's absolutely critical to how they get on at primary level and then how they get on at second level. Now, I can't quote the statistics there as regards the early years, but certainly they're making the point that... you know, we do need to keep an eye on the early years in terms of there's a new curriculum there. It's important that, that there's standards across mm-hmm. the system. Doesn't matter, you know, whether it's a 3 hours a day or it's a 7 hour day or whatever. And I think the parents, again, can be reassured that, you know, if your child is in the local community creche or your child is in a creche where you're paying fees for, or your child is in the early childhood, you know, that they're meeting standards, but more to the point, there are standards to be met,
mm-hmm.
and those standards will be evaluated in time by the Department of Education.
Of course, as a precursor for what's going to happen later on. There's nothing in it about funding. I mean, everyone is complaining about lack of funding, no matter what sort of agency it may be. Is that a problem still?
No,
or
it doesn't. Well, obviously, of course it is. I mean, I think I'd be remiss in my job as working with the ASTI that I didn't talk about funding and investment in education. I think the message that the minister and the politicians, the Oireachtas, are getting is that as we come out of almost 10 years of austerity with reduced... you know, with cutbacks in investment in schools and all of that, we really need to seriously take stock and say if we're to build upon our strengths, which is high-quality teaching, safe schools, very committed and capable school leadership, if we're to build on those strengths and sustain them into the future, we need to make sure that we do start to reinvest in our schools. I mean, we have huge areas to make up in. You know,
mm-hmm.
we've had... all sorts of grants were cut, like grants for home economics. Every parent will know, you know, Monday morning flour, all sorts of stuff disappearing from your kitchen because the children now have to bring stuff in because the school didn't get grants
mm-hmm.
for the last 10 years to pay for it. investing in our science labs. I mean, a lot of science teachers will tell you that, you know, their labs are out of date, they're overcrowded, they haven't got enough storage space. We need more modern learning facilities. Even the schools themselves, I mean, we have some fabulous new schools, beautiful architecture, well-designed, good light, good, you know, all sorts of high-quality features. But unfortunately, an awful lot of our schools are old. You know, they're old buildings, and they're overcrowded in many instances. The classrooms aren't big enough. And we also have, I think, the biggest challenge in terms of investment in education is, for politicians, is the fact that we have demographic growth right up. I mean, for example, some of the statistics that the Department of Education itself have produced have said that something like year on year to 2025, which is what, another 7 years to go, we will have an additional 17,000 pupils in our system year on year. Like, that's huge. That's a huge increase. You're talking about teachers, you're talking about school buildings, you're talking about school transport, you're talking about laboratories in schools, you're talking about gyms, you're talking about spatial planning. I mean, these are very big challenges for government and for the system, is how do you deal with huge population growth over a long period?
And of course, you're
and that means our case is, if you want our country to be the competitive economy, the good society, the inclusive society, schools are critical.
Okay, I mean, you're talking there all about the benefits of students and the improvement in the schools, everything like that, which is commendable. But also teachers have to come into the equation. They have to be looked after as well. As, I mean, being a member of ASTI, or being, being in, the General Secretary of ASTI. So is that being done?
Absolutely. And I mean, my colleagues are off to the Doyle later next week. We will be talking about equal pay. We will be communicating to the politicians that the fact that teachers have unequal pay scales because of budgetary measures introduced in 2010 because of austerity and financial collapse. This is now, the roosters are coming home to roost, so to speak. We now have huge disaffection among our younger teachers and among indeed among all teachers, who feel it's very, very unjust and unfair to have to have teachers in a staff room. One is on, and there's three different pay scales. They're all doing the same work. They're all putting in the same hours, the same passion and commitment and care, but yet they are getting different pay, different take-home salaries. That is really, really corrosive. And we're now seeing the impact of it in terms of a dramatic drop in the number of graduates. I think 62% drop since 2012 in the number of graduates who are going into teacher training. We are seeing the evidence of thousands of young teachers, once they qualify, going abroad to work because they can't afford. The salary is the poor salary is the big push factor. They can't afford to live, certainly not to get a home. And we're also seeing the phenomenon for the first time ever. I mean, I'm almost 30 years in my job, and I've never heard it until the last 2 or 3 years. Teachers are, second level teachers are openly stating that they are not advising their students to go into teaching, that the work intensity, the workload, and unequal pay, that it's just not worth it. I've never heard teachers talking like that until the last few years.
But I think, Moira, that's been applied to a lot of careers across the board in health as well. So it's just one of these things that will have to be rectified.
But it's certainly having a big impact on the supply of teachers at the moment. And because it's having that impact, and it's impacting on other government initiatives like our science education, like promoting language learning in schools. Indeed, coming back to the Gaeilge, schools can't get substitute Irish teachers. In some instances, they can't get enough Irish teachers. So unless we start to address problems as to why isn't teaching attractive, and one of the big reasons is unequal pay, we're not going to solve those problems. You know, it'll all of these things, it's like the join the dots. Everything affects everything else.
Okay, well, listen, we'll go back to the positivity and hope that things will, now that the country's supposedly getting better and that sort of thing, let's hope things improve across the board and the report.
Well, I think we've seen, you know, I mean, I don't think any politician can afford to ignore this demand for equal pay. Because the simple facts of the matter are, with you know, we are not going to attract the kind of graduates that we want into teaching. And if we don't have quality teaching profession, well, we can throw our hat at it, you know.
Okay.
So I think really every sector is important, but I think education is so critical to the well-being and life chances of our young people that we can't afford not to address this problem.
Well, okay, let's end on a positive note and say that we hope that they do address the problem, and the next time there's a report out that it'll be 100% across the board for teachers, as well as schools, as well as students, Maura.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Maura. It's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you.